Good morning, everyone. Please turn with me to the chapter 3 of Ruth, and we will continue our study of that chapter. We were considering how God wonderfully and precisely, though oftentimes in our eyes too slowly, but it's never right to think that. And he's working out his plan and purpose in the life of Ruth and in the life of Boaz, and gradually drawing them together. And in the chapter 3, we have Naomi indicating to Ruth, when she discovers that Ruth, by the providence of God, has been gleaning in the fields of Boaz, she exclaims with joy that Boaz is a near kinsman, one who stands in a relationship to both of them, whereby, under the law of God, he is eligible to help them, to redeem them, and to deliver them from their poverty and from their helplessness. And, as we have said, all this would have been news to Ruth. It's very, very likely she wouldn't have been aware of the laws or the customs of Israel. And so, hearing that there was such a provision as a kinsman redeemer, that would have been all new to her. I'm sure of this. But she's under instruction. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, is telling her that, yes, we can get help. And we can get help from the very man who has been showing you such kindness. We'll not go over the great measure of kindness that Boaz showed to Ruth during the whole harvesting of the barley and then of the wheat, in which Ruth went home with far more gleaning than she could possibly have expected. And that was because Boaz instructed his laborers and his workers to make sure that there was plenty of the harvest scattered about for Ruth to pick up. And she went home each evening with a great reward, as it were, for her labors. Now Ruth is instructed by Naomi how it is she can claim this blessing that God has written into his law, whereby someone who is a very close, indeed the closest relative to you, can, in your hour of need, help you, become a redeemer to you, redeem you out of your poverty, out of your distress. And Naomi explains how this can be done, and how it is that Ruth is to approach Boaz. You know, boys and girls, we as sinners don't know how to ask God for salvation. We don't. As it would all have been new to Ruth, so it is all new to the sinner, this matter of deliverance by God's Redeemer. Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Ruth is a picture here of the poor sinner, in poverty, in distress, no means of delivering themselves, but suddenly discovering that God has an appointed way whereby she can be delivered. But she needs help. She needs to be told, well, how do I go about claiming this help? And we all need that. The last time we were here, we were considering instances where this is illustrated for us in the scriptures, like the jailer in Philippi. What must I do to be saved? He was aware of his need of being saved. And he was made aware of that by God. He hadn't been aware of it an hour before. Indeed, you could shorten that period to a matter of minutes. He didn't know that he was a lost sinner. That God opened his eyes. God made him to realize his lost condition. But knowing that he was lost, didn't tell him how to be found. Didn't tell him how he could be saved. And so he came to Paul and to Silas, God's spokesman, God's instructors, the signposts appointed by God to point the sinner to Christ. And they said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas told them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And illustrating that truth, we have here in the story of Ruth, Naomi instructing her as to how she could claim for herself the blessing of being redeemed by Boaz. Let's read from chapter 3 a few verses just to refresh our memories. Verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Simple enough instruction. First of all, Naomi tells Ruth where Boaz will be found that night. In the threshing floor. You know, that's a good picture of a gospel meeting, isn't it? That's a nice picture of a gospel meeting. Because in the gospel meeting, threshing takes place. There's a process under the preaching of the Word of God whereby the grain is beaten out of the stalks. Sinners come in to the house of God unsaved. But under the stick, if we might put it like that, of God's Word. They're loosened in their sins, and finally they're caused to break with their sins and separate from their sins and come to Christ. That's the picture of soul winning. It's a thrashing process. It's a thrashing process. Can you remember when, under God's mercy, you were thrashed by the Lord? When you were caused to let go of all that your life used to be, and turn from sin, and turn from the world, and fall at the feet of Christ. So she's directed to the threshing floor, and she's told, there you'll find Boaz. There you'll find Boaz. And you're to take your place at his feet. See that? He'll be lying down there after his labours. And thou shalt go in, verse 4, thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. That's where everybody must come if they're going to be saved. The feet of the Lord Jesus. I might say to you who are saved, you have to return to the feet of the Lord Jesus whenever you want his blessing. Whenever you want something from him, you have to come back to that place again. His feet, his feet. Kings of old, when a citizen had a petition, they would come to his throne and they would bow before his throne, down at his feet, to ask the petition. No earthly king ever received petitioners with such kindness, such mercy, such bounty, as does the Lord Jesus receive those who come to him. So you remember that, those of you who are saved. When you want a blessing, you've got to stoop down, you've got to humble yourself right at the feet of the Lord Jesus. There's quite a number of references, particularly in the New Testament, regarding those who took their place at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and each one, each account, each incident is recorded for our benefit. Always remember, the Bible was written for our learning, that we might be instructed. Look at the Gospel of Mark, please. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 5 and the verse 22. The Saviour has returned onto the side of the Lake of Galilee, where he normally would have laboured and toiled and resided. As he gets out of the ship, he's approached. Verse 22, Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Fell at his feet. He was a ruler of the synagogue. As such, he was used to people bowing before him. Used to people being respectful and being reverent to him. But he knows that he's in the presence of a very wonderful person as he stands before the Lord Jesus. And unhesitatingly, he falls at his feet. What humility this man showed. It cost something, I'm sure it cost something, for him to thus publicly humble himself before the Lord Jesus and lie there at his feet. But Jairus knew this was a proper place for him in the presence of the Lord Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. And he was coming to ask of him a favor. Verse 23 says, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." And he's come to the one, the only one who can help. At the feet. At the feet. Oh, boys and girls, let me ask you, have you ever been at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Have you ever bowed at his feet? Have you ever humbled yourself before him? Recognized him to be who he is? And laid your needs out before him? Look at chapter 7, just a page or two over. Chapter 7, the verse 25, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Whatever she had heard about him made her fall at his feet. She had heard of his greatness. She had heard of his glory. She had heard of his splendor. She had heard of his mercy. She had heard of his love. She had heard of his goodness. And she falls at his feet. She has a need. And she knows where it is she can get that need supplied. At the feet of the Lord Jesus. We'll take another verse. Luke's Gospel, the chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And it's the verse 35. The Lord Jesus is in the land of Gadara. Gadarenes, and the man who was mad as a result of being possessed of devils has just been wonderfully saved. And we read in verse 35, "Then they," that's the citizens, "went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Slightly different posture here. He's not lying, he's sitting. We come to the Lord Jesus and cast ourselves down on our faces when we want to be saved. We humble ourselves, acknowledging our nothingness. But as Christians, we don't get up then and go away. But rather, we remain there, sitting. Sitting. You're sitting today. You're sitting. What are you sitting doing? I hope that you're learning. You'll be going into your classroom and you'll be sitting while you're taught. It's a posture that's very familiar, isn't it? It's the posture of learning. And this man was learning from the Lord Jesus, being taught by him. We could consider another verse, just, I know I said that would be the last one, but just as I speak, I'm reminded of another incident related to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Turn over to chapter 10 of Luke. That's just another page or two over. Chapter 10 and the verse 38. "And it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." She heard his word. That's where you can best hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, sitting at his feet. We might turn back again to Ruth. Naomi said to her, "You go, uncover his feet, take your place there, in humility, in submission, and he will tell thee what to do." He will tell thee what to do. She was coming to ask help. And Naomi says, if you take the right place, he will tell thee what to do. He'll give you instruction. He'll give you instruction. Oh, how good it is, boys and girls, to know there is a willing Savior ready to listen, ready to speak words of help and guidance and counsel. I wonder, have you ever asked the Lord for help? You're not saved this morning. You're on the wrong road this morning. You're not going to heaven this morning. Because you are on the wrong road, to get onto the right road, the Lord Jesus needs to become your Savior. He needs to be your guide. You need that which only he can give. And to get it, you need to go to him, and you need to lie at his feet and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And he will tell thee what to do. I heard a wonderful story. I'll very, very quickly tell you this just as I close. I heard it from the preacher on the Sabbath evening past while he was visiting with us up in our home, Mr. Milo Schultz. And he was telling me of a man and a woman who got saved a number of years ago now. But he said they have a wonderful testimony. First of all, the man got saved. And he realized that his life was completely wrong. The way he was living was completely wrong. And he went to this lady with whom he had been living, and he said, we can't go on like this. I have to leave. She thought he was mad, told him so, and said to herself, a week or two and he'll be back again. But a week or two went past and he wasn't back again. He was continuing on this new path. And she said, I'll get myself a Bible. She didn't have one, but she said, well, go and find one, go and buy one. And I'll read what it has to say and tell this man how wrong he is. So she went downtown in the city of Prague, went to a second-hand bookshop, asked, had they got a Bible? And the man said, no, I don't think we have any. And she was actually at the door going out again when he shouted at her and said, hold on, I do have one. And he was able to sell her a second-hand Bible, and she went home. And she decided, well, I'll find in this book what real Christianity is all about and show to this man how wrong he is. And so she opened the Bible right at the very first page. And she read those wonderful words in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God smote her heart. In a moment, she realized there was a God, and there was revealed to her by the Spirit of God her lost condition, her need of salvation through the Lord Jesus. And what the man had said to her was right, and she could see it. She could see it just in the moment. Because, you see, she had come, as it were, to find an answer. And at the feet of God, he told her what she should do. Just like Ruth, at the feet of Boaz, Boaz told her what she had to do. Well, we'll look at what he has to say to her the next time we come together. But, oh, boys and girls, has the Lord told you what to do? And have you obeyed him? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, write your precious word upon our hearts, and may we stand in awe of thy truth. May boys and girls come to understand the wonders of this book, hold it in the highest regard, and reverence it, for it is the word of the living God. We pray that you will bless the school today with all its needs. We commit the children, we commit the staff to thee, and the parents as well, Lord. Loved ones and friends who are needing a healing touch, we commit to thee now. Do answer prayer for us and bless us, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen.